Dave Fanning on 2FM.
2FM. Gavin Friday, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. Thank you.
Gavin is here sitting in the studio because he's going to be appearing as part of a specially curated concert of Bertolt Brecht's songs and poems. It's called Change the World. The concerts take place on Saturday 14 and Sunday 15 of September at the National Concert Hall in Dublin. So, first things first, Gavin, what will you be doing on stage exactly?
I'll be singing songs written by Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill, who, as anyone that knows me, is a lifelong love and touchstone of Mr. Friday.
Listen, I know this. I didn't come up to Liffey in a bubble. Let's take a look at some of these things here. First of all, who is he? Was he?
He's a German playwright and poet. People say he possibly is the most influential playwright guy on theatre. He basically threw theatre out the window and reinvented it. He took away the whole bourgeoisie thing, and basically he was Johnny Lydon making plays in 1930. He brought sort of a punk visceral thing to theatre, but he worked with this genius musical collaborator called Kurt Weill, and they wrote these songs that possibly nearly most people have heard, even though they didn't know it was Kurt Weill. Like Bowie's done the songs, The Doors even, their first album has one of his famous songs, and Mac the Knife, even Frank Sinatra. So he's just one of these sort of geniuses in my mind.
Was he very famous before Kurt Weill came along and added the music of Kurt Weill, I should say?
Not really. I mean, he was known, he was quite sort of socialist, but sort of like a champagne socialism, you know. He liked his bit of this. Really, him and Kurt Weill, it was 1928-29 when the Trepanny Opera happened, and that really was his first hit. And it sort of reinvented, they sort of invented Broadway as well, because they brought theatre with a story, and Kurt Weill ended up living in America and basically working on Broadway with his wife, Lotte Lenya. And his whole stance was, once again, I gave a punk reference, like the Trepanny Opera is about sort of drunks and prostitutes, and he hired actual prostitutes to sing and non-musicians to play very sophisticated music. So it was very, what would you say, very in your face and very real.
Okay, the Trepanny Opera, was that not called Beggar's Opera or something like that before that?
The Trepanny Opera is based on an old English play called The Beggar's Opera.
Oh, right.
And they basically did a cover version and rewrote it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, right. And the 12-inch version and all the rest
of it.
Okay, that goes with it. Okay, so let's get back to him himself then. We're talking to Gavin Friday, by the way, and we're talking about Change the World. Concerts taking place on Saturday 14 and Sunday 15 of September at the NCH, the National Concert Hall and Knowlesford Terrace in Dublin. Now, Gavin, there's a bunch of other people on stage with you as well, but just before that, did Bertolt Brecht want to destroy art as people would have been defining art up to that point?
He did, I think. As I said, he was very anti-bourgeoisie, and he wanted to pull all the walls down. And he was, he ended up being a bit of a liar. He pretended he was into minimalism and he wanted to live like every man and socialism. And he was away with the girls, smoking the cigars and drinking
champagne.
And did
he get personal about it? I mean, was he deliberately fighting with other people who might have written plays to change them around to show that maybe what they were doing was wrong?
He was controversial.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, he ended up, he had to leave Germany because Hitler didn't like him and he was going to kill him, so he left.
But didn't he leave Germany a lot before the Second World War, like by the mid-30s? He was gone.
33. Yeah, right. But so was Kurt Weill. I mean, the Third Reich and the Nazis were picking out the Jews way
Absolutely.
Back earlier than 1938. Yeah, it's, I mean, I wouldn't be the scholar of his whole philosophies and stuff, because to me, at the end of the day, it was the music, but also the visual, the whole drama, the visual of it.
Did you ever see his movie, which I didn't see, The Mysteries of the Barber Shop, it's called?
No, I have seen the Threepenny Opera, but the original version.
Okay, so are we talking here, like, tell me about the Berliner Ensemble and all of these things. I mean, like, for instance, you, in fact, have done, when you did Ibligedick before, and also you did Tomorrow Belongs to Me, was there a lot of what we might see here in the concert hall? Was that, is it all rolled into what Gavin Friday is interested in?
Well, no. Because it's not my show. The NCH, the National Concert Hall, came to me and they put this card, says, do you want to do a Brecht show? And I was going, And then he showed me the cast of musicians and then the cast of the other performers.
Well, hold on, we're looking at the cast of other performers, everybody from Camille O'Sullivan to Carl Coughlin.
And Blixa Bargeld and Uta Lemper and Meow Meow. I mean, the idea of Gavin Friday, Blixa Bargeld and Cathal Coughlin, that's some sandwich to chew on, do you know what I mean? And then the three ladies is another cocktail to drink, you know, Uta Lemper, Meow Meow and Camille. It's like, whew. So it'll be quite exhausting, the night, I predict.
Okay, just as an influential dramatist and poet, you say he really, he changed it so much that he's just, he almost invented something. Do you know what I mean?
Theatrically, maybe. Musically. I tell you, right. This is if you want to go musically, because that's where the initial attraction was, and then visually. Musically, they were walking around in Berlin listening to atonalist music, which is like students of Schoenberg. So you're going, dun, 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 dun. This sort of minimal, like Throbbing Gristle almost, if you want an analogy. Right. But they were in love with jazz from America, the exoticness. They were in love with Scott Joplin. So if you listen to the music, it sounds like a good time hanging out with Neubauten. Do you know what I mean? Good time jazz band with this whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Are we talking about the Ann Sturzen Neubauten of the drills on stage?
Yes, yes.
Right. You're not going to do any of that on the night, though, on the concert.
Well, I'm not Blixa. I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, he probably will. He's done it with Nick Cave.
You know? I think he was the first bad seed. I tell you, he's quite a performer. I've seen him live a few times. It's not all that bad. Are heavy. A lot of the lyrics are quite incredible. With the relevance, they were talking 90 years ago about the rise of right-wing leaders, the refugee problem, you know, sex tourism. And you turn around and you go, 90 years later, it's sort of happening again everywhere, you know. So the poignancy of the lyric is quite good. But my initial attraction to this, Dave, was like when I was a kid in the 70s and we were all going around with the David Bowie hang-up, I saw a film called Cabaret, which is almost like a pop song, if you want to compare it musically to Brecht's music. But I just went, what is this madness, this burlesque, this political, this beautiful thing? And then as you get older, you go, well, it's actually Brecht really wrote. And
would you have been transfixed like by the Joel Grey character, the kind of narrator, if you like, or whatever?
Absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, so much so, I'm blowing my own trumpet here. I turned 50 10 years ago. I'm nearly 60. And I played Carnegie Hall with numerous guests. And as a surprise, people organized a Joel Grey opened act two. And he did his whole MC thing, including tap dancing.
Yeah. So that was a special present.
That was a serious present. Yeah. And he's not a young man.
No. I'm just thinking, actually, his daughter, isn't his daughter Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing? Oh, I could be wrong about that.
I don't know about that.
I think she's related somewhere along the way. Yeah, I don't know.
He mightn't have a daughter.
Yeah, I know he might not. Okay.
I don't know.
There's something about that somewhere.
There's something, I don't know.
Sure. Okay, so let's just take a look then. I mean, like, do you think that in some ways, in terms of Bertolt Brecht, which is what I want to get to, that if he changed it all and if he wanted to do something else with art, that what he wants to do is that if you go to theatre, I'm not talking about the music necessarily, but if you go to theatre, he wants you to see this as theatre and not as real life. Like, sometimes the greatest reviews of anything is, this is so like real life. That's exactly what he didn't want.
Yeah, he wanted people to go away from theatre feeling something.
Yeah,
he didn't want to make them emotionally happy and clappy clappy.
Yeah.
So there was no like, lovely, lovely. None of that. It was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't even want them to relate to their own lives. He wanted them to experience something.
Yes.
Right.
And there's a bit of hitting them over the head with a hammer. And you know, and he was debunking a lot of things. Like America was seen as the great place to go to. So a lot of his operas, like Rise and Fall of the City and Mahagoni and Moon of Alabama, they're all about how great America is. But when they all go there, it's crap. And they have to go somewhere else. So he's always sort of building something up and smashing it down. Like, there's no crack here. He's hardcore. He's hardcore.
Okay, and just one last thing I want to mention is, which you've mentioned already, which is The Doors and David Bowie, Alabama Song and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what were they thinking of? Did they do the right thing? Did they realise this is good stuff and we can put our own stamp on it? And did they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, The Doors, it's such a surreal thing, but I'd say it was
Jim Morrison.
Yeah. And the piano player.
Oh, Densmore. No, not John Densmore.
Ray Manzarek. I'd say it was him because it's very keyboardy. And but Bowie, it's theatrically, aesthetically, it's right up his thing.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and he lived in Berlin, so he probably just ate and slept breath.
Yeah.
And Alabama Song, he recorded it. And then he did Bal, which no one talks about much. That BBC, it's actually the last thing.
Bal is an early one now, from pre-1920 in terms of his.
Bal is really, really early. It's like before he met Kurt Weill.
Yeah,
Bal.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't a hit.
Right.
And then people go back to it. And Bowie did it for the BBC in 1982. And if you look at it, you probably remember it. But it was the last thing he did. It was the last thing he did really as an outsider.
Right.
Straight after that, he put on the Let's Dance suit and went off.
All right, well, listen, Gavin, I'm going to go. I'm going to let you go as well. Just one last, I presume will you be going down under, down to New Zealand and Australia with you too, making sure that they, you know, stay on the straight and narrow?
Well, I probably will, but I don't know if they need me to keep them on the straight and narrow.
I'm not sure. I think they have in the past, and why not in the future? All right, listen, Gavin, good man yourself.
Bertolt
Brecht it is. National Concert Hall, Saturday 14 and Sunday 15 of September. It's called Change the World, and there's loads of people on stage, and you'll be there. So, by the way, do you is there duo-y stuff going on or triple-y stuff going
there's
on?
There's talk of that, yeah.
Oh, right.
And but there's three ladies to fight over.
Right.
So we'll see.
Okay, we'll have a good fight. Thanks, Gavin.
Thank you.
Good man yourself. Good to talk to you
again.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.